The Boss.
And The Boss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And it is, in fact, my birthday. I'm the birthday boss. I'm sitting next to the gloss. And I am told that this segment, Ron Culver, is queuing up a special guest.
I'm going to queue up a special guest. I know he was a mystery guest, and you were presented envelopes.
All I was told is somebody special is coming.
Somebody special is coming on right
now.
Here's
your envelope.
I'm going to give you a hint, okay?
Okay.
He is a former Cowboy, your favorite team, obviously.
I like that as a starting point.
A Super Bowl champion.
I like that.
A three-time Pro Bowl player. First-team All-Pro, a member of the 1970s All-Decade team, and recently...
Yes,
oh, boy.
Finally,
and deservingly so.
In the
Hall of Fame.
Like, it almost feels like 20 years too late, deservedly so.
Yes, agreed.
One of my all-time favorites, Drew Pearson. If you're calling in on my birthday, you have just made my day.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to David. Happy birthday to you from the original number 88. To you, David. Happy birthday, buddy.
My favorite number 8, Drew Pearson. And
what a voice.
Well,
wow.
Yeah, not only can he catch the ball, he can sing. Fantastic.
I don't know. I'm surprised you survived that, David.
I'm surprised I've survived this long. Of course, I grew up a huge Cowboys fan. I have a picture on my wall in my office of the Hail Mary. You're catching the ball against the Vikings from Staubach. All those great years.
Nice.
Just revered you for so many years. Fantastic to have you. Thank you so much for joining me on my birthday.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I appreciate you being a Cowboys fan. And where'd you grow up, David, being a Cowboys fan? I know you don't sound like a Texan.
Well, I may not sound like a Texan, but I grew up in Houston. And the reason, but it's a fun reason I became a Cowboys fan. My father moved here, had no affiliation to the Oilers at the time. And the Cowboys drafted, you'll know who it is, but I always tell it as a trivia question. The Cowboys drafted a running back from Yale, and my father had gone to Yale. So he was all excited that there was a Yale player in the NFL at all, and that he had been taken in the first round, and he became Rookie of the Year. And so because of the great Calvin Hill, we became Cowboys fans. We were watching the Cowboys every Sunday and watching you and Calvin and Staubach and everybody play football.
Well, that's a good reason to become a Cowboys fan, you know, connection to Yale University, because there's not many football players or pro football players that come out of Yale.
No.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, my father had been the manager of the football team and always had big aspirations for Yale football, which were widely misplaced, of course. They were never that good. But Calvin Hill was a very good running back. Of course, he didn't get to play with the Cowboys long because he went off to, I guess, the WFL. Is that how that worked out?
Yeah, he took the money and went to the WFL. But he had a nice career. He was the first 1,000-yard rusher for the Cowboys and did it for a number of seasons, gave a lot to the game. I remember coming in, David, as a rookie, and watching him go through his paces, because he was 6'4", running back, you know, and, you know, he was pretty much a target for these defensive players to, you know, hit. And he took a lot of beating. And I used to watch him prepare, first come out of the game, all beat up and battered, and then prepare to go into the next game. And I would always say, I can't believe he's playing. I can't believe he's coming back and playing. But that's how he was not only smart, but he was tough. And so he's an unsung Cowboy hero. Should be in the Dallas Cowboy Ring of Honor for sure.
We're talking to a man who is on his way to the Hall of Fame, Drew Pearson, the legendary Cowboy. So you are headed to the Hall. How do you feel? What was it feeling like to finally get that call?
Well, you know, I'm still feeling it.
Good.
It's a great feeling, and I knew it. I knew it would be, you know, and that's why we former NFL players, when we retire, we want that type of recognition. If we deserve that type of recognition, or if others think we deserve that type of recognition. So we want that. And now I know why, because the feeling is so great. And it doesn't matter if you're a first ballot Hall of Famer and get in on that. Like I'm going in with three first ballot guys and Johnson, Woodson, and Manning. It doesn't matter if you're a first ballot guy or wait 38 years later to go in, because when we all got together, we were all excited about the same thing. And the excitement was the same. First ballot and 38 years later guy. So it's a great feeling, and the recognition and notoriety and people congratulating you and knowing about you going into the Hall of Fame, it's just been tremendous.
Well, it is tremendous, and as a longstanding Cowboy fan and fan of yours, I was so excited for you from afar, as I know many Cowboys fans were. You know, one thing, as I look back at your career, you wore number 88, and there are some players who have had their jerseys retired, and then there are some whose jerseys have almost become symbolic of greatness. And with the Cowboys, 88 is given to somebody whom they really believe will be great. Now, not all 88s have done well, but there is a great legacy that you started. And, of course, Michael Irvin and Dez Bryant, and now we've got the great wide receiver from Oklahoma and CeeDee Lamb. And so how does it feel to see 88 passed on? Do you like that, or would you prefer it would be retired? What's your perspective on having your jersey connote greatness?
David, I love it. I love it. It keeps the number alive. When you think about it, we have other great numbers in Cowboy football history, but they don't treat any other number the same way.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, somebody just bought Tony Romo's number 9.
Okay? Yes. Yeah.
Jalen Smith. So, you know, they don't treat any number that way. So I appreciate it. They got a legacy going here. And, you know, I wasn't the original number 88. Number 88 became available my rookie year because they had just traded Ron Sellers to the Miami Dolphins, and we got Otto Stowe in return, and Ron Sellers wore number 88 that season, the previous season, and that's why it was available. When Otto came, he took number 82, so I grabbed number 88, so I'm not the original number 88. I just started calling myself that after I retired, and then it was picked up by the Cowboys, and now here comes Michael Irvin. And, you know, they anoint him with number 88. And the first thing Michael says, Drew, is it okay if I wear your number? I say, well, Michael, it's not my number. It's the Cowboys' number, first of all. And second of all, if you do wear it, don't do what I did. Do more than I did.
Mm.
And that's what he did. He took it to another level individually, Hall of Fame, team-wise, through Super Bowl championships. And so now you got a legacy going. And then they said, well, here comes Dez Bryant. Let's anoint him. And we talked to Dez. We told Dez, don't do what we did, do more. And Dez, he was rolling. You know, he's the Cowboys' all-time touchdown leader in 8 seasons that he played. Unfortunately, he couldn't finish his career with the Cowboys because of injuries. But now here comes CeeDee Lamb, and then they found the next guy worthy of wearing that number 88. But they don't do 12 like that. We got two number 22s in the Hall of Fame. Emmitt Smith and the great Bob Hayes.
Yes.
They don't treat that number like that. So I appreciate the Cowboys respecting the number the way they do and treating it the way they do. And I'd rather have it like that than a retired number where everybody just thinks about it once in a while, as opposed to every time they see CeeDee Lamb make a catch, they think of Dez Bryant, they think of Michael Irvin, and they think of Drew Pearson.
It's an incredible legacy. We're talking to the Hall of Famer, Drew Pearson. So let's look at the Cowboys wide receivers this year. I mean, the big two, Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, that's a great duo, maybe one of the best duos in the league. How do you evaluate those two? What do you think they bring to the team?
You know what? It might be the strength of this football team, and definitely maybe the strength of the offense. They got depth. They got some good players there, Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, as you mentioned. But we also got Michael Gallup,
yep,
who really came on at the end of last season. And then, you know, they got a guy named Cedric Wilson. I think they met his qualifications to keep him on the roster. And, you know, every time he gets an opportunity to play, he shows something. And then you couple that with the tight ends, you know, Jarwin and Schultz and a lot of these guys that came on toward the end of the season last year. And, you know, hopefully Zeke will be a little more committed and a little more ready to get into the season and have a better season. And a lot of that will be predicated on the health of the offensive line. His production dropped off last season because the offensive line was all beat up. Tyron Smith missed a bunch of games. Zach Martin missed a bunch of games. So hopefully this receiving corps can lead the offense And we might need to do that. We have to see what the defensive side will do, David, because we've got a new coordinator, Quinn over there coming in from Atlanta. We need a new, something new over there because the defense was so atrocious last season. But hopefully the offense can make up for a lot of things that defense can do by putting points on the board. And hopefully the defense can help the offense put those points on the board by giving them some good field position when they just step out there back on the field.
So I got one more question I want to ask you about the Hall of Fame. As I think about it, you and Staubach have been linked to so many great moments in Cowboys history. It's funny, the Hail Mary is one of the most famous moments because, of course, the term is now used throughout all of football. But, that, of course, that was not a Super Bowl season. There were other seasons and other great games throughout your career. And then you've now picked Roger Staubach to introduce you into the Hall of Fame. Tell us about that decision. Why did you pick Roger Staubach?
Well, you know, when I think about it now, it's a no-brainer. But, you know, when I first got the call from the Hall, you know, that's one of the things. One of the first things I thought about. The other was whether my bus would be allowed to have an afro on it in the hall chamber there, and they agreed to do that. It, as a matter of fact, I'll scoop you on it, David. That my afro will be 19 inches big. It'll be the biggest in the Hall of Fame.
And you heard it here first.
Right, right. The reason they say 19 inches is because that's all the Hall of Fame committee would let you have, because you can't go up next to the, you know, you got to get some room to the other bus, okay? but that was one of the most asked questions. The next was about my presenter. And I got a sister. There's 6-7 of us growing up. I got one sister left. She's my older sister. She would do a great job. I have three beautiful kids, adult kids. They would do a great job. But then it all came back around to why I'm going into the Hall of Fame. And the reason is because I'm a member of the Dallas Cowboys. If Tom Landry was here, it would be him, because it was his system that allowed a guy, an undrafted free agent from Tulsa, to even have an opportunity, you know, to play in the National Football League. So he would be that. And then you think about, well, okay, he's not here. Who would be next? And he's got to be your quarterback, Roger Staubach. And it's not just because the connection we had on the football field. It's the connection we had off the football field. And that connection started way when I was a rookie, and Roger knew nothing about me. I'm out there working out every day at the practice field when he was there, and he couldn't figure out why I was always there when he was there. Well, because I had an apartment right next door to the Cowboy practice field, and my balcony can overlook the Cowboy parking lot, and I knew what car Roger would drive, and I would sit on that balcony and wait till Roger showed up, and then I'd run over to the practice field to work out with him. And so he went to bat for me with the Cowboys at that time, and that helped me get a longer look in training camp, and that longer look in training camp gave me what I needed to make the Cowboys football team. So if Roger doesn't speak out for me or go to bat for me, you might be not talking to Drew Pearson. You might be talking to Tony Hill or Butch Johnson right now. But because Roger stepped up for me, that's why I had my opportunity to play for the Dallas Cowboys. And I couldn't think of a better guy to step up and be my presenter because the connection that we had as players and the connection we still have, you know, in our lives after football.
Well, I cannot think of a better guy to have joined me on my birthday. Drew Pearson, I am so grateful for your call. Thank you so much. It's a real birthday treat.
Right on, David. Enjoy your birthday. Carla, thanks for having me on. Boston the Gloss.
Absolutely.
Happy birthday, David.
Thank you,
and
Drew.
And congrats to you, Drew.
Around, guys. All right. Hail Mary blessings.